Thank you for tuning in to Vontae NYC Podcast. You know who I am. I go by Vontae NYC, and we are here in lovely December. We have made it to the almost end of this crazy year of 2020. Back with another episode. I'm here with my lovely co-host. She's back as well. Shout outs to Ash Dolls. What's going on?
Yurt. What's up, guys?
At least this time around, it wasn't so long that we heard from you because we just did the interview with Chance, and that was before my last one. Then that's the one we did before that. That was August. Before that, we haven't seen each other since like March around that time. Yeah. So it's been a crazy year, but I'm glad we can be here together in December to end this off. This is part of the pod-a-thon that I put together, just a rapid fire of episodes and interviews to close out the year. I'm trying to do more in 1 month than we did the whole year. So let's see if it's possible. Ash is here, and we are joined again. So just to pretty much put in the air right now. Last year, we got some interviews done. Sometimes we ran out of time or just, you know, we didn't have enough of the conversation that we really needed and wanted. So we always want to make sure we double back and spin the block again. Today, welcoming back to the podcast. But for the listeners, the first time, we got Llama in the building. What's going on, my bro?
What's good, y'all? How's everybody doing?
We chilling, man. We chilling.
It's crazy because it's funny. Devontae just said that we had a couple of interviews that we did and we didn't really finish. Mm-hmm. We did Llama last year.
Around
this time.
Yeah, I think the same time.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was taking the Uber with Llama back. Well, it was my fault because I was late. I'll admit to it. Yes, accountability.
Accountability 2020 Ash Dolls.
But on the Uber back, I was just having a conversation with Llama in the Uber, and I was just like, wow, there's just so much that we missed. We have to get Llama back up in here. And then COVID.
And then COVID did backflips. Front flips, tumbles, and did all that.
Again, COVID.
COVID, still, man. Here. It's still here. But, you know, luckily enough, we are all, you know, healthy, living, young, breathing adults. Definitely. And we could be here together in the studio. Llama, man, look, it's been a long year. I can imagine that you've been busy, but then also not busy, just like everybody else.
Let's get Llama's introduction in there, though. So if you guys are not familiar, Llama is a producer, a videographer, manager, et cetera, everything under the sun.
I wish.
But Llama is a very, very good businessman sense. Very versatile. So thank you, Llama, for being here with us.
Of course.
Again. Just want to get into it. How did you get your start? And just like let us know what you do.
Got you. So like Ashley said, I'm a videographer, producer. I write. I manage artists. Anything that has to do with creating, I like to involve myself in.
Just because, you know, creator.
I just like doing stuff that, like, you know, doesn't seem routine. You know.
So,
So like I kind of fell into it like I went to college in Jersey, and I was already producing and stuff. Like, I have two artists that I was working with, Joey G and Free Samuda. And, like, we used to, you know, I known them since I was younger. Like, when I started producing, those are the people I was working with and whatnot. And then, like, basically in college and shit, I was, like, I play baseball. So it's, like, I couldn't really, like, work and have a job because I was there.
Were you good in baseball?
I mean, I consider myself pretty good. You know? I wasn't good enough to go, like, you know, pro or nothing like that. But, you know, it was I played in college, so it was, like, it's cool, you know? So when I was doing that, like, they would come up on the weekends and just, like, work with me and whatnot. And then, like, it came time to do videos. And it's, like, at the time, it's, like, we couldn't really, like, work to get the money to get the videos. So it's, like, I just kind of bought a camera and just, like... like, so learned it busy. Then from just putting out stuff with them, people just started hitting me up. And then after I, like, got out of college and whatnot, I just kind of kept going with it. That's kind of how I started.
I still believe that your name is Llama. So, you know, tell the people how you got Llama, because again, I'm gonna call you Llama. I know you don't care, but like, where did Llama come from? Because that's a very interesting name. It grabs attention. I know when I first heard about you, it's like, it's a dude named Llama.
Yeah.
Like, it was like top tier, like Dalai Llama, like type shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, what's going on here?
So honestly, it's like, it's mostly random, but it's like what I've kind of grown to tell people because it makes sense. It's like, Llama's another word for a gun. Mm-hmm. So shot by Llama, shot by, the shooter.
Oh, wow. Bars. I never knew that.
Fucking bars.
I never knew that.
Bars. Word. He said,
So, wow. Yeah, Llama wow. Distributor type shit.
The more
yeah.
you know. 2020 exactly. just opening some shit right now. I gotta write this down.
A llama is another word for a gun.
No, yeah. I knew that part, but the fact that the shot by llama, that was like, it's genius.
Yeah.
This guy's a genius. This guy's a genius.
So, you have a company, A2I. What does A2I stand for?
So, A2I stands for Aspire to Inspire. Mm-hmm. It's basically... Yeah, that's what it means. It's just like I inspire other people to be creative and just do what they love, you know? Mm. Or like, you know, rather than feeling like you're stuck in a bubble, you know? Yeah. So it's like, that's just, was it this year? I might have already had it by the time we talked. But I have it tattooed on me and stuff like that because it's like, I really do believe that statement.
That statement, like, okay. It's more than just a brand, people, yeah.
You know, like I feel like that's one of the biggest, like, you know, more so than like money and stuff, just when people will hit me or like tell me, it's like, yo, you actually motivate me to do something. It's like, that's, you're actually leaving a mark on someone, you know, rather than just like, oh, I'm just, you know, doing things for myself. You know, at the end of the day, every, you know, like humans, we're doing shit for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like I want to get rich and all this stuff, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's also, it's fulfilling to feel like, all right, no, you're actually making an impact on other people's lives for whatever reason, you know?
That tattoo is dedication, though.
Yeah, 100%. So it's like, I have to live by that, you know?
Mm-hmm. What is A2I?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? So
there? A2I is like, it's basically a creative agency, right? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of come to us and pretty much get anything done, you know, like if you need, you know, videos, if you need direction, production, you know, music production, mixing, mastering, photography, doesn't matter, you know, whatever people need, like, even when it comes to like marketing and stuff like that, it's like, we're not geniuses with marketing and stuff like that yet, but it's like, we can kind of like just consult people on that, like basically anything you need, you know, like websites, because it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, when I went to school, my major was like web design and e-commerce and stuff, so it's like, I do have a background of that, but like, I have other people who kind of do it more, you know, professionally and stuff than me. But like, it's like anything, it's just a background. When you need to create something, you come to me, can get it done, you know? And I'm just trying to like, just use that and then expand it into a whole other thing, a whole bunch of other stuff, you know?
It's makes
like,
sense.
It's just an ever, like, I don't want it to ever, I don't want A2I to just be like something that just people know, all right, if that stamps on it, it's dope. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily have a specific, like, you know, one meaning of where just, you know, a production company or where, you know, a label or whatever. It's just, we just do shit, you know, and it's like, it makes money and we're happy, you know, we try to have fun doing it.
Quick question. Could you mention like going to school for like marketing and all that stuff and web, like, do you feel like a lot of people go to school for one thing and end up doing other things in life? Because 100%. I feel like everybody that I speak to, I think everybody, like, not even just majority. I think everybody that I've spoken to as far as like creative fields, they went to school for something totally different.
Yeah.
Like something far-fetched that don't even relate or correlate to like entertainment. Yeah. But why do you feel like that's the case? Like what do you think happens during college that makes people tap into their creative side?
I mean, I don't necessarily always think it's college. I know with me, it more so was. I feel like it was always there, but I would just like dabble in things because it's like I was so focused on baseball at the time, you know, like that was my thing. Like my whole life, it was like, I'm going to, you know, do this. So it's like, I just feel like people always have it there, but it's just like, there's a lot of people who, you know, it's like you go through life and it's like, for the most part, everybody kind of shoves the same things down your head, you know, like they kind of like, you got to go to school for, you know, business or doctor or lawyer or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like the practical thing. Exactly. So it's like, you go into college most of the times with like the mindset that you're doing something practical, you know, but at a certain point, especially in the college years, because of how old you are, you kind of figure out at some point, there's like a turning point. It's like, am I going to go the practical route and be that person, or am I going to go after what I'm actually interested in and take risks doing it? You know, so I feel like that's why. And usually it's like when you're already in college, you know, like you don't make those decisions all the time. Now I feel like people are making those decisions younger and younger. Mm-hmm. But especially like, at least around my age, like a lot of people made those decisions. Like,
In college years.
Because you went to college thinking, okay, I'm just going to major in business.
We also didn't have access to as much as you know, what we have access to today. So
it's like, it's college, the college years was when kind of you kind of like figure it out. And a lot of people are already in school, so it's like it's a lot of work to switch to those type of majors or those type of schools and then have to do years over. Mm-hmm. So it's like you kind of just figure it out on yourself. I feel like that was the start of it, because it's like I feel like because of like our our generation, just how we would have to figure that out in college. And then because of that, you know, not trying to go in debt more than college, or not trying to, you know, just waste your time more in college when you should be applying the things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. You just kind of figure it out while you're doing those things so that you can have that background but still do what you want. And I feel like that's kind of how most people end up going about it.
I was just interested because, like I said, like I find it more so the conversation that you start talking about, like education, and people do these amazing things in school, and then not saying that what they do today isn't amazing, but it's like, damn, like, how did you get here? You know, like, what led you to this, the career path versus what you were, like, you know, studying for? Yeah. So I just want to get some type of insight.
When you were in college, is that when you realized that you wanted to be in the music industry or in the creative field
that sense? I would say pretty much, yeah, because it was, like, college was when I kind of, you know.
You said you were doing, like, the producing on the side for.
Yeah. It was, like, a hobby, you know, but it was, like, it wasn't until when, you know, I started putting out videos with my homies and the people started hitting me up, I started seeing it as like a practical thing. And it's like, at the time, it's like my other option was to be a web designer and be in a room all day, you know, which it's like, all right, that's safe. But it's like, will I really enjoy that? Because that would drive me crazy. You know, like, so it's like when I saw that as like another avenue I could take, I was just like, okay, I mean, you know, I still have the degree there if I want to go back and do it.
It was a backup plan, right?
Yeah, but it's like at the same time, I got to go and, you know, try to do something I actually had fun doing. Mm-hmm.
What are some other people or companies or brands that you have worked for or that you are currently working for?
Gotcha.
And what are you doing for them?
And how rich did they make you?
I really do wish I was rich.
Llama's the richest person in the world.
That's a fact. This Rolex you got both of us is crazy, bro. Like, this shit is stupid. I appreciate it for real, for real.
Yeah, definitely. No problem. That's funny. So I haven't in a while. So I mean, I've worked with Nike. I've worked with Champs. I've worked with Samsung. I've done like a bunch of different, like, you know, kind of corporate things too.
What were you doing for them? Were you doing your web design, or were you doing more of like the creative aspects of
I used to work with a production company that wasn't A2I. It was like this other company, Victory, and basically it was like a lot more sports related like stuff. So it's like we used to do a lot of stuff with like Nike NYC and like a bunch of different things. So it's like some recaps, some like promotional videos, a lot of Instagram stuff, you know. So we used to do stuff with them. We did a few things with Gatorade. Nike was the main one that we did work with, but there was a bunch of different types of like companies that we worked. We did some stuff for Infinity. We did some stuff for the NBA. We did a lot of stuff for the WNBA. Actually, we did like the when the WNBA made that deal to like get their players more money and their models and stuff more money, like we did that whole like press release and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. And then like just a bunch of different like stuff over the things over the year. Like I remember I did a couple of the Nike by You ads, and I did some stuff for the Jordan when over the All-Star weekend. They dropped like some Jordans or something like that, which is crazy because I'm not like a sneaky person at all, but like, so it's like I have no idea what half of these things are, but like we did a bunch of ads for those. So it's like it was a lot of work. I unfortunately during the pandemic, like, you know, they couldn't really there was no work for a while, so it's like I'm back to like kind of doing my own thing, which is good because I rather focus full-time on A2I anyway. But I still do like some corporate stuff, and it's gonna pick back up more. Like I just did like a project for Champs. They had like a game show they were doing with like these kids and stuff over because they couldn't have their basketball season or something. So that was pretty cool. Like we actually just wrapped that, and then we're also doing like a bunch of stuff with this new workout company called NR7. It's kind of like based around just connecting trainers from all around the world with like people from their living room. And then also it's like I have a like, so basically me and my partner in A2I, like, we have like part ownership in this tea company called Maury's.
Shout your partner out, man. Unless they don't want the recognition. Who's your partner?
This dude named Greg Barassia.
Okay.
Yeah. I've actually had their tea.
Yeah, word.
It's good?
Yeah,
I should have brought some. Fucking drinking Dunkin' and you had good tea and shit.
Next time I'll bring some because, like, it's dope. It's like, it's green or black tea, mm-hmm. right? Super simple. I'm a green tea guy, but it's, the difference is the honey's in the tea already. So, and it has a little bit of caffeine. So instead of like people drinking like coffee and stuff, like it'll, it's a little bit like of a healthier option, I guess, to like get energy and stuff. But yeah, we've been doing that for the past year. We're actually in a bunch of stores now in like Connecticut and like.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah,
where could we get it? Is it like widely like known, popular out here? Could you get it anywhere in New York?
No, not at all. Like it's small, you know? We just started like a year ago. So it's like we're getting into like the smaller, you know, areas first. But slowly building, you know, a repertoire and stuff like that. But the more, you know, the more people
that drink it and support it, then they'll get out there. So we definitely need some like lifetime supply.
Yeah.
And some artists, what artists have you worked with musically as well, doing projects for them? Videos, production.
On the production end, I mostly work with my boy Donnie, mm-hmm. Donnie Durag. That's like A2I artist. Like that's the main artist I work with. And then you know I have a bunch of other homies like my homie 070 Fee.
Mm-hmm.
I work with him heavily. You know he's I don't know if y'all ever heard of that group 070 from Jersey.
Jersey.
So it's like a bunch of really dope artists, like, mm-hmm. like a huge group of really dope artists. But the biggest, I guess the biggest artist out of the group right now is 070 Shake.
Mm-hmm.
She's like signed to Kanye and stuff.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. So I didn't know it was a group of them.
Yeah, it's a bunch of them. It's like 12,
is
maybe
it just
more.
Rappers or are they like of different genres?
It's just like music. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's
something
the best
for everybody.
Way. Yeah, that's the best way you can explain. Because like it's interesting about them because it's like you like when you have groups like, you know, a lot of groups where it's like people say the name before the name, you know, like 070.
ASAP,
yeah, like ASAP mm-hmm. or like a lot of them, not that they sound the same, but they're all on the kind of the same wave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like this is a group of people who are like together, but they're literally on completely different waves. Like mm-hmm. all the people who make music make completely different type of music. You know, like Fee's like a OD like rapper, like bars, mm-hmm. like will just bars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then Shake's like the experimental, doesn't really have a genre type, you know what I'm saying? Then Ralphie's another one who's like that. Tree, Malik, all of them. There's a bunch of them. And
you
like,
said not to cut you. You said you signed to Kanye.
Yeah, she is. She
so, is. With that being said, you know Kanye is Kanye. You're gonna mm-hmm. have your feelings about him. People are saying now that he failed Teyana Taylor, right? What do you feel about that?
I actually just saw that.
Yeah.
I have no idea to be honest. Cause it's like
she claims she wants to quit music. She's done music. She says she's out the game. She just feels like there's, I don't know what she thinks is a lack of, but people are now just blaming Kanye, saying like he failed all the good music artists, blah blah blah. I mean, you can see it some way, but I only mention that because she signed to him, and then you know once she starts to blow a bit more, they're gonna say if anything happens to her, they're gonna blame who? They're gonna blame Ye. So it's like, in that sense, do you think that like she has it where like she doesn't really need to have the kind like lean on a Kanye cosign to make her career pop? Because I think that in the beginning, we all have faith in Teyana Taylor, right? Like we all know she's nice, but like. In the beginning, we kind of leaned on that good music. All right, she's part of good music. She's about to do dope things. Yeah. So all these kind of albums and nothing really like came about. Like, do you think that?
I don't think that you should ever join a label or anything with the idea of leaning mm-hmm. on them. You know what I'm saying? It's like if, like, that's your resource.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to be known for like? Oh, because Kanye's already lit.
That's what we think, right? We were like, you wouldn't want that to be the case.
Exactly,
but but the way I'm looking at it is that, I mean, that's pretty much what it looked like it sounded like. Like, she was like, all right. Well, people are making it sound like, I guess.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, because she's not where she wants to be or she doesn't feel the spark anymore, they're just going to blame him and say that he's the reason. So I just want to say, like,
he's a label head, people, so they're going to, you know, they're gonna come at him anyway. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, I feel like no matter who's the head of the label, no matter who is whatever, you know, like, involved with, you still gotta like just kind of do your thing, mm-hmm. you know. Like that's a resource that if it comes and helps, then it helps. But I'm pretty sure when you're signed to a label, you have a bunch of other resources that they give you for that reason. You know, it's like you should yeah, I don't think Kanye should be blamed for that at all.
Is so, that something that you tell your artists?
Yeah, I was about to ask that because I'm like, as a label head, you got to take the same type of responsibility and accountability. I mean, like, if something
like the way I look at it is like, look, especially it's like with our situation, it's like we're not like any type of big label in any way. You know what I'm saying?
Depends
it's like
on who's asking, to be honest, you know? Yeah.
But it's like, as far as it's just us, like, we just technically formed an LLC and we just have that there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's you know, everything we do is under A2I and we do, you know, like, we do business and stuff, but it's just like, at the end of the day, if we're signing an artist, if we're working with an artist, it's like we're here to help. But it's like at the end of the day, the artist
carry
has
your
to,
own weight.
Yeah, the artist that you like, no matter what situation I'm in, and I feel like that's part of why I try to dabble in so many things is because I always want to be able to, like, if I can't count on somebody for something, I always want to be able to just pick up and go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at the end of the day, it's like as you grow bigger, as you get more responsibility, you have to have people around you who can do things. But if you have the background and everything, then it's like you don't necessarily, everybody's in aid, their help, but you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's, you should have always have that mindset with everything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And same thing with an artist. It's like, as an artist, you shouldn't rely on your label for the things that they're providing. Mm-hmm. You should make sure you set it up so you get it yourself.
Yeah.
And then let that be an helped, like an added aid, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you just become more business smart like that. You just become more successful because you take more ownership of your career.
Exactly.
That's true.
You know, it's like, even, yeah, it's like, I think Russ didn't even have a manager until, like, I don't even know if he does.
Probably,
you know?
Probably not. The way Russ moves, like, I just think he just
that man's
him,
like,
you know?
Mr. Do It Himself, yeah, you know, like, yeah. That's fire to me. Like, I always respect that because it's like, that's what you should be doing, you know, like especially now, there's the resources are everywhere. You know, if you don't know something, go look it up on YouTube, bro. You're going to find it, you know, like, and figure it out.
I think that's funny that you said, like, if you don't know something, just like do it or like look it up yourself, because you do produce, direct, write and manage. So it's like, will you ever be in the front lines, or is that something that you just prefer to be in the back? Just doing everything. Or
he's
like
rich.
You
don't need to be in the front lines. The man is wealthy.
You know what? I'm gonna just let you keep saying that because that it'll speak it to
yes,
you.
Bro. Yes. That's why I keep saying it. Because listen, I'm speaking to Rolly into existence as well.
I feel you.
I'm selling my shit same day. I ain't gonna lie to you.
My fault. What was the question?
Nah,
it's cool. I said that you produce, direct, write, and do everything under the sun because it's like that's what you choose to do. You choose to, like, just if you don't know something, learn it. I'm gonna do it myself. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you prefer to do, or would you want to be in the front lines doing one thing, or just learning everything in the back?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. Like, it's not something. So I actually make music too.
I know,
but
he makes good music, actually.
I've heard
appreciate it.
Snippets. I haven't heard any full.
Word. There's not that much full stuff. I'm one of those people who definitely, like,
the teaser,
make stuff and then fucking forget about it.
It's funny because if you listen to, like, some of Trey's music, you can hear Llama in the background providing vocals.
Really?
Word.
I noticed that and I'm just like, is that Llama?
Now I'm interested to know what songs, too. Like,
wow. Off the top of my head, I can't even, like,
I know Nuisance.
Definitely.
Nuisance,
okay.
Definitely.
I'm gonna listen to it back and see if I can.
La-di-da. I mean,
La-di-da, he's a feature. Yeah.
Sire. Not Sire.
I was about to say, if you was on Sire, that's fire.
Can't call it.
Sire's fire. I wish he was on Sire. That should have been OD.
I definitely think maybe something. But there is, like, a lot of times when I'll be in the background and stuff. Like, because I don't. Like, with Donnie, I don't write for Donnie, but then sometimes I'll help him with melodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are some people I will actually, like, write for and stuff. And honestly, it's like, I do like the whole background scene, but if it was to, like, if a song I did just caught fire, then fine.
Then you're okay with the spotlight?
Cool.
All
right. Yeah, but it's like, that's not what I'm necessarily focused on, because I have a lot more enjoyment out of, like, creating than actually being an entertainer.
Yeah.
And those are two different, you know, things. Mm-hmm. Like Donnie's an entertainer. Like, that nigga's mad energetic. You know
facts.
What I'm saying? Like,
he love that shit.
But the entertainment part of it, like performing and stuff like that, it's cool. I have performed before and it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can get why it's fire to people, but it's not really what piqued my interest, because it's not, it's like I'm kind of just performing the stuff I created already.
Yeah.
Where it's like what I actually like doing is literally the creation. The creation. You know, like, so,
oh, like creating something new.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like I'm always kind of like, but you know, if it was push comes to shove, it's like if it means more money, then yeah, let's do it.
Yes, you said that there's a difference between like being a creator and being an entertainer. Mm-hmm. Do you think those lines intersect?
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
I feel like you are a good intersection between the two.
Yeah, possibly. But there's definitely people like Ryan Leslie. Mm-hmm. Like, he was definitely a creator.
Mm-hmm.
But he was 100% entertainer.
That's a very, very good example.
You know, like, yeah. Like, yeah, both that is a good example. Know, like, mm-hmm. He's still the
people,
till
hold on, let's cut you up. Give Ryan Leslie his flowers, man. That man is a genius.
Yeah, nah,
that's serious.
Gibberish is my favorite song by him as
definitely
well.
Definitely like, mine too. Yeah.
That's how you know he's creative as fuck, because you don't say shit in the song's beat. Literally gibberish. Yeah. Yeah, Ryan Leslie, man. I fuck with Ryan Leslie.
But yeah, that's a perfect example. It's like, till his day, like, he's still touring, but he's also just doing shit that just, you know, like.
I feel like you know Ryan Leslie.
No, I okay, so.
You see, this is what I was talking about in the Uber. It just comes out. Like,
Ryan Leslie's like a random person thrall, so I got some type of rapport there that you brought him up. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of creative entertainers. You said Ryan Leslie first.
That's true. But he's just always the first person. That's a very good pickup, Devontae. He's always just the first person when it comes to stuff like that comes to my mind, because it's like, he's really balanced both sides well. But like, I used to basically, I used to be his videographer for like.
Look at this guy.
But he used to have well, I'm pretty sure he still does. He has Superphone, like this company, and then mm-hmm. he also was still performing. Like mm-hmm. He would tour in Europe every year,
mm-hmm.
and so 1 year I went with him 2 years, right? And basically I was just with him for like a year and change, you know, just following him around, like whatever he's doing, just mm-hmm. shooting it, you know. And like we. That was a dope time, because I was young. I was like just out of college, I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was like, it was definitely a good experience, because I never been to Europe, mm-hmm. and it's like in a year I knocked out like
a lot of bucket list type stuff,
you know, like 10, 12 countries and
I
stuff.
I want to be like Lama.
And it was,
yeah, 10, 12 countries is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, like it was pretty fire. It's like, and it was just like, we shot like, it was all types of content. It's like, we shot like studio stuff, like the when he does the making of the beat mm-hmm. stuff. We shot like a few music videos.
Mm-hmm.
He actually flew out to Jamaica one time and did a song with Rich Homie Quan, and I ended up shooting the video for Rich Homie the next day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was dope.
So Rich Homie just be chilling in Jamaica. So now we know where he at. People ask us, he just be in Jamaica chilling. Yeah. That's kind of like when did he disappear? So he's in Jamaica. Yeah. Okay.
Nah, but he was cool as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I was just like, it was just like a week we were in there. Like, he was working on mad like music and stuff, like with Ryan and just with a couple of other producers he had out there. And it's like, it was just, I remember I was just like in the booth shooting, because the booth was pretty big, so I was just like in the booth shooting him and just like rolling up mad splits,
mm-hmm.
and then like just passing it back and forth.
Yeah, but that was like dream. The life.
Yeah, so it was cool. It was like I'm pretty sure I'm not even sure, because you know they'd be in situations like that all the time, so I'm not even sure if we would have linked today if he would even remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that was actually kind of cool, because like we definitely did smoke a lot, so niggas was high. So
niggas was high.
So you know, you do a lot. And this year was kind of stagnant as far as like trying to branch out and get out there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you stay productive throughout this year? Because, you know, beginning of the year was hectic. You know, even in the middle of the year, we had like, you know, riots and Black Lives Matter stuff. And then now we're here in December. But like, what kept you busy throughout 2020?
I mean, for the first, like, for those first 3 months, mm-hmm. to be honest, I was in the crib. You know, I was doing like little projects here and there, but mostly like editing stuff and, you know, like maybe like product shoots and stuff. Like, random, you know, like super random stuff that didn't involve me actually coming across anybody really.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, that was actually around, it was crazy, because that's actually around the time we were like starting to launch the T and all that. So it's like, I was very focused on that for a while, like getting the website done, mm-hmm. all types of, you know, stuff and whatnot. But yeah, like I was definitely, for those 3 months, I definitely wasn't really, you know, interacting with too many people and whatnot, because it's like you just didn't know what was going on, you mm-hmm. know, like you just like, from one side I have all my conspiracy theorist friends with all types of you know, then you have the news, and you know, like the news can be the devil, you know. So
I stopped listening to the news in like, I want to say September, because I was like, bro, if I keep listening to this shit, I'm gonna end up going crazy without even going outside.
It's depressing. It's depressing, bro.
I stopped watching it.
So I mean, but after a while, it's like, you know, I was like, look, it's like, you know, got to pay rent. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, money's drying up. You can't just, you know. So, you know, I just went back out and started shooting. And then thankfully it was like, because I actually, you know, I didn't expect to have as much business as I did. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's definitely less than, you know, what you used for. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, but before, remember, I was like working, I was doing my like freelance stuff, and I was doing the A2I stuff, but I was also working with another company. So it's like, I was definitely busy, making more, but it's like, but now it's like, I'm just happy that, you know, it's still there, you know, like, you know, just keeping it as safe as possible, but you just got to kind of, you know, like, yeah, go, you can't, like, if we were to listen to this stuff, it would, I would still be in the crib, you know, it's like.
Do you think the pandemic sparked the creative bug in a lot of people?
Yeah. I mean, it made a lot of people have no choice but to do what, you know, they're actually interested in. You know,
there's nothing else to do.
Exactly. No choice,
because it's like, look, it's either there's no job, so you can't really do that. And if you're not doing what you're actually interested in, then you're just sitting in a crib. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? You know, like, so a lot of, I definitely feel like it definitely sparked that, you know? And that's good. You know, it just, hopefully people follow through with it, you know, once things start going back to normal, hopefully.
How's your studio sessions and how's your studio going? Llama does own a studio, guys, so if you are looking to
so we used to be in Flatbush, now we're in Bushwick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's good. It's like, I honestly more so like to do sessions where I'm creating with people now, rather than like recording people. So it's more so meant for that. So it's like, before I was kind of like looking at it like a studio where it's like, all right, we're just trying to like make money in here and get, you know, so we could pay the rent and whatnot. But like, it's like, I really realize I don't actually like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm basically, what I'm doing now is like, you know, I'm more so trying to get into studio people when I'm like actually creating music with them, writing, production, whatever, you know, like, I don't, cause I'm not an engineer, you know, like that's one of the things I do not want any part of right now. Cause I know how to do it, but it's like, I know how to do it in terms of like just making things sound clean. But like, I'm not an actual engineer, you know, and I don't really actually like doing it, cause I already sit a lot producing and editing.
And time consuming work is exactly. Drives you crazy. And
engineering is very time consuming. Right, so it's like, I really just want to, you know, make things, clean it up enough, and then get it off to whoever's engineering it, you know? But yeah, it's going good. You know, like, we're making a lot, a lot of music, and just working with a lot, anybody, you know, who we like.
What's a typical day in your studio like? What's a session like?
I mean, it'll probably start with either me or Donnie rolling up. And then, like, we just kind of start listening to either samples, or if somebody's there who, you know, plays a little, like, an instrument or something. Maybe they play something, and then we just start digging in. You know, like, I usually just start to just kind of keep adding on to the same loop. Mm-hmm. For a while, and then when I feel like there's enough in it, then I'll like kind of break it apart and see, all right, this is the intro, this is the, you know, hook, the bridge, maybe like add like a switch up or something, you know, like, but that's pretty much it. And then like, while I'm doing that, Trey's usually writing. By the time I'm done with the beat, Trey usually has Donnie usually has a hook. He puts it down, and then if we want to continue working on it, he'll write a verse. If not, then we'll kind of save it to either get a feature, or if we want to, like, you know, want to see if maybe somebody else wants to use it, or, you know, because we have a lot, like, so the thing, what we're trying to do now is like, we're trying to separate, all right, what are we working on for ourselves, and what are we working on to maybe try to get people to use, you know, because at like, you're not gonna, like, between me and the other producers in that studio, it's like, this guy has so much music.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's like it's not all gonna come out.
Yeah,
you know?
I got some unreleased, and I was like, because he just hit me when he was talking on Twitter or something. He's like, yo, I'm gonna send you some unreleased, send me 3 tracks. And I was like, what the fuck are they doing unreleased? Like, put these shits out. But I understand the process,
you know, because you can't, like we, I feel like we put out a lot of music. Yeah. So it's like, but you can't, you know,
oversaturate.
I feel like I feel like in a way we kind of do sometimes. You know, because we do
oversaturate, or put out too much.
No. P- put out too much. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know about over. I don't necessarily think it oversaturated because it's like it's all different music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But, and it's fire too.
So. Yeah, but it's like you know. But I'm just trying to figure out right now the best like strategy between it's like, are we gonna go the rush route and just drop shit all the time, mm-hmm. or are we gonna, you know, like make people like wait up for it? Because both can.
It can go prove, either way.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like if you have the right content to go mm-hmm. with it. So it's like that's just kind of what we're mm-hmm. trying to figure out right now. But even with dropping a lot of music, we still have a lot of because this kid's in. He if I would have hit him up right now, he's probably there.
Yeah.
You know, there's mad times in the morning like. I'll hit him up and he's already there because he just signed us up there from the night before, which is good. Which is a good thing about having your own space, you know.
You can just like, see it crashing and yeah, wake up and just, get back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
We have 2021 coming up and we could talk about future stuff, but we still have a long way to go before 2020 is over. Mm. What do you have coming up? If you have anything coming up for the rest of the year?
So we did this thing called 12 Days of Donnie last year, mm-hmm. and
it was awesome.
I appreciate that. But we're gearing up to do another one.
Wow, part two.
Yay! We were talking about it before. I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to talk about this.
Right.
So it should be pretty dope. We're just trying to figure out like when the best day to like shoot it and get it done so we can have it in time for like Christmas and stuff. Because it's kind of like, you know, we're just trying to navigate around like a bunch of different stuff and then my schedule too and whatnot. So we're gonna hopefully get that done and put it out like Christmas or Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And then just keep going for the next 12 days.
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, I think the hashtag is 12 Days of Donnie. Right? Yeah. Like search it up. Fire concept. Literally 12 days.
Songs
of...
on streaming services as well. Yep. Music videos.
Also,
on
Llama
YouTube.
Llama told me before the interview that they drop an 8.
Yeah, it's gonna be like 8 new songs. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
I'm so
Speaking
excited.
Speaking about putting a lot of music, right? 8 new
exactly,
songs
yeah,
in 12
yeah,
days, that's fire. Like, I'm ready.
But
I'm
I think so it ready. Was just like, I feel like I like the concept. So it's like, I just think that's something we should do yearly just so people, you know, like it's that way it's not us dropping an album.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Or like a mixtape or anything. It's just like, these are
getting music
songs,
out.
Gotcha.
You guys have a lot of songs as well. So it's a great way to get it out.
Like that's a smart way to do it without having to do singles, if that makes sense. Because singles are like always like focus on that one song. You got to focus on it for a couple of months. But when you put it out like that, it becomes
as
part
a collective.
Of a collective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now hopefully COVID chills out and hopefully it stops doing these front flips, tumbles, back flips for 2021. What is an ideal goal for you to accomplish in that year? Because you can't say that it will happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We just, at this point in life, we just don't know, right? Like, we literally don't know. So, what is something that you would like to accomplish in the next year?
100% have a single on the charts. Like, a Billboard chart would be really dope, you know?
I could see that happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Being able to... I mean, getting my first, like, real film out. Like, as far as, like, because I have, so that, yeah, so
Do
I
Do you have a couple ideas, or you
Yeah,
something?
So, me and a couple of my homies, basically, we have, like, a few pilots, so we've just been trying to, like, just shoot these pilots and, like, you know, get them, we haven't shot anything yet, it's just because film is, like, a lot more, like, planning, and with everything being so hectic, we're just trying to kind of figure out the best time to do everything, but definitely want to, like, this year get a lot more into, like, film, you know, like, really, like, scripted, like pieces, whether it's like a short film, whether it's like a pilot for a TV show that we want to like pitch or whatever. I just want to get a lot more involved in that.
Gotcha.
And then just more like real like productions as far as music videos.
Gotcha.
Like more like, you know, not necessarily label stuff, but like just more higher production
content.
You know, rather than you know, not to say that I don't do it now. It's just that, you know, we kind of work with what we get now.
Yeah,
you know, I would like more projects where it's like I have an entire team rather than just me and like two of my homies.
You do put out some quality content, though. It's super quality.
I definitely appreciate it. But it's just like, we definitely do. but it's like when I say that, I mean like just more things where it's like we can get, there's no less of a limit. Because there's a lot of times when I feel like I have ideas or we have ideas, but it's like, you know, whether it's with Donnie or whether it's with, you know, other artists, you know, it's like we have ideas, but it's like when you really try to put the ideas together, it's like, wow, man, we don't have $7,000 to throw into a video right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's speaking on like the low end of how some of these things turn out. You know? So what I would just really love to do is just to have less limits on creativity. That's really what the altogether goal is, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Is just have less limits on creativity, you know? And that means the more, you know, resources you get, the less limits you have.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
Thank you so much for coming back to us, Llama. Like, I feel like we learned a lot.
We learned more than we did last time, right? Before I let you go and like close out with your social media and stuff, what I want to do on the pod, especially for this podathon, is just give people not even a positive piece or a positive thought, but something that you feel like if anybody listens to what you're about to say can help them, you know, achieve or move to achieve what they want in life, give them some type of stepper or like a picker upper as far as them being down or like in a slump creatively. What's something that you could say to a creative right now that you think will boost their morale?
You can't go up if you ain't down. You know?
Wow.
Like,
one more time for the people.
You can't go up if you ain't down, you know?
That's like a fact.
Like, even if you're, I feel like that's one thing that kind of, you know, even though, yeah, I just said it's like one thing that kind of resonates with me, because it's just like, look, no matter, like, yeah, during the pandemic, like when we were, you know, on quarantine and stuff like that, there were a lot of times when I was feeling like, damn, like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? Like, but, you know, you can't really, you could sit there and let things consume you. You could sit, or you could just, you know, decide to be like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I understand that it's harder for some people because, you know, like, you know, depression is a real thing. Anxiety is a real thing. All of those things are a real thing. But when, at the end of the day, we are still, I guess, sane. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can still, even when you feel those things, you can understand that you have the choice to kind of, like, try and, you know,
turn it around.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's really like you can either let that consume you or you can try to fight. You know, fight it and really try to, you know, break through your emotional barriers and, you know, sometimes physical barriers, and just be creative. Because at the end of the day, doesn't matter what. There was a guy with cerebral palsy who ran the entire Chicago Marathon. This man cannot walk. You know, like he didn't run, but, you know, like,
yeah, in a wheelchair. He did it.
He did it. The entire Chicago Marathon in the runner's lane, not the tricyclist. Yeah. You know, like, he did the runner's lane without, you know, he just got in and just
did it.
And this is a guy who, like, he has cerebral palsy, you know? If he's able to do that, we can, actually, we did a piece on him. That's the only reason why I bring that up. That's why I did that. So, if he's able to do that, it's like, we can get over...
Yeah, true.
You know, there's all types of stories of amazing people doing all types of things with the most debilitating. Is that the right word?
Could be the word.
Maybe not.
We'll look it up later.
Google, right? Yeah, we mentioned that earlier. Yeah. Google finds everything.
Fact. But they're, you know, all types of things that they're going up against, and it's like, look, we got our arms, we got our legs, we can walk, we can talk, you know, we can communicate. So let's just get to it.
Facts.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks. Again, Llama, I appreciate you coming through. Where can we find you on social media?
Shot by Llama or A2I Creative.
A2I Creative. Before we go, Ash, do you have anything that you want to promote, talk about for the rest of the year? What do you got going on? How's life?
I'm always chilling.
Listen, Vontae NYC Podcast is in support of A Milky Christmas. It is a foundation advocating change. My brother Jarv and a few other good brothers have started it, giving away milks, a.k.a. White Air Force Ones, to deserving children between the ages of 10 to 17.
Love it.
You could donate a pair of sneakers, you could donate monetary value, or you can nominate a child to receive a pair of sneakers. Go to www.milkychristmas.com for more info on how to participate. Llama, again, hope to see you in 2021. I want you to come back up. I want to see, around this time as well, I want to see what the year brings for you. I think that a lot of good things are coming. I'm coming to a studio session soon. And we talked about some work that I want to get done with you for next year that I think is going to be a project that takes a lot of us to new heights.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hold strong to that. I've been in talks and I've been trying to get that done. Again, if you listen to this podcast from wherever you may be, wherever you may live, I appreciate you for tuning in. We are here to stay. We are on a podathon, which means you're going to get interviews until we can't interview no more for the year. End of the year, we will be doing a wrap up. Myself, Ash Dollars. We got Sash Millie from the Secrets with Sash podcast, and we have Frickin' Frack from the Frickin' Frack podcast also joining us to close out the year. That'll be in a few episodes from today. Again, Shot by Llama's in the building, Ash Dolls in the building. I go by Vontae NYC, and we are gone.
Later, y'all.
Oh my gosh. That's select a shot.
Once before, this is your final stroke. I ride against the low, I ride against the grain, while gliding on the flow, get high against the joke. This shit is over, if you need closure, check with your soldiers, huh? They all in my soul, cause we in the back, we sticking the snack, huh? When rubbing my shoulders, been holding the earth up since birth, this pretty shit boldest, huh? Wake up to that green, start sipping that lean, like that shit is Folgers, huh? You know what I mean, I built this shit up, but shit was below us, huh? I'm ready,
your you better, your oh, you're on demon time, man. Right? You better... You better have the same energy. Got no sympathy. Better think twice when you sent for me. No friend of me. Switch with me once you an enemy. No stick with me. Where's the top? Can you?
Oh my God.
You better have the same energy. Got no sympathy. Better think twice when you sent for me. Ain't no friend of me. Switch with me once you an enemy. Ain't no stick with me. Where's the top? Kennedy. Finish me.
I just need a
million. Finish me. Finish me.
I just need a million. I just need a
milli. Oh my gosh, that's
selective shot. I just need a, I'm just trying to hit a milli billy from scratch, y'all. Bad bitch and her ass off. Pull up on a pup, pull up on a henna rocket, get neutron blast off. This big D with her double D's, get a right like a scantron. Pop, lock it, drop it, till them bands come like ransom. Young nigga leading the race, paper we chase, continue to meth on. Niggas don't want no smoke, you was a joke, he dropped like a dead arm. If I catch a charge, throwing the fence just like I'm bad boss. Cold blooded cause the ice done, Ruben studded my left arm. Ain't shit funny, we was hungry, talking bruh, man, from the fifth floor. I was down on my luck, yeah, nigga, talking piss ball. I don't mama when them buses wasn't open up them back doors. Now we open up them suits, I case a bozo, having death door. Tying stress, so 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 tying stress.
Oh my gosh, is that select a shot?